As the trial of Chad and Lori Daybell nears closer, specifically Lori in the coming weeks, we're trying to give you as much context on the case as possible. So we're going back into the archives all the way to 2020, August 3rd and 4th, for the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13, so you can hear where it all begins in the courtroom and where it will pick up as the trial of Lori Daybell begins very soon. This is that hearing. Let's go to the courtroom.
All right. Thank you. Please be seated. We'll be back on the record, continuing with the direct examination of Lieutenant Ball. Is that correct? No, excuse me, it's
Stubbs.
Stubbs, I apologize. Yeah. Detective Stubbs. Mr. Wood, have you worked out your technology issues there?
Yes, I want to thank Josh, the IT guy, for taking care of that for us.
He's very competent. You may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. Detective, I'm gonna start playing this and then pause it and have you tell us what's going on when you recognize what it is.
This is my body cam footage as myself and Lieutenant Ball approach the apartment number 175 the first time on the 26th.
Okay.
Her car's out there too.
Where?
In the back. It's blue. Blue Subaru.
Police department, how are you? You got a minute? You alone or that help?
My brother's here.
Okay. This is Detective Stubbs.
Hello.
Sweet.
So, we're here.
Yeah, this is a big mess. I just talked to the guy on the phone.
And what did he ask you?
He was just saying that he wanted to do a well check on JJ.
So, JJ would be where?
He's in Arizona.
Who's he with in Arizona?
He's with one of my friends in Arizona.
Oh.
Hi.
Oh.
Hey.
You got a notepad?
No. Let me get one.
No. Come here. You mind if he comes in?
No, come on.
So.
Thank
you.
Sorry.
Who's the friend he's with?
My friend Melanie. Her son has autism. Her name's Melanie Gibb. I gave him all the information on the phone.
Okay, so he can call him?
Yeah.
This court.
Yeah. What is all this?
We're a little concerned. Because, well, the officers who were here earlier were checking, and they got a bad vibe that, like, something was going on here because nobody knew anything about a child. They weren't talking.
It's because a lot of stuff that was going on. If you want to know, it's a lot of stuff. So,
well, that's why we're concerned, because it just was kind of weird.
It is very weird. I've had to move around a lot. One of my brothers is trying to kill me, not the brother that lives here, obviously. He's kind of my protector. My other brother was in with my husband, who was trying to kill me for my $2 million life insurance policy.
Anyway.
So a lot of stuff has gone on in this last year. It's been a horrible year for us. I've had to move around. And so I was going to move back to Arizona. Put my son back in the school there, because I tried to put him in school here, public school at Kennedy.
Okay.
He went for 2 months. We tried it, but he had such a hard time. Now, the person who called is my sister-in-law, but she's his natural grandmother. He's adopted by us. Okay, so her son, who is a drug addict, had a baby with a girl who's a drug addict, and they took him from, you know, CPS took him, gave him to the grandmother. She came and got him, and then she wanted us to adopt him, which we did.
Why us? Who are we talking
My about? Husband and I, who died earlier this year.
Okay.
He passed away. Since he passed away, she's been trying to fight me for him and being really horrible to me and that kind of stuff.
The...
She's kind of the paternal friend.
Okay, thank you.
That makes sense.
That's what I mean. The paternal grandmother.
Yeah, he has autism and ADHD. He doesn't really talk to people. Like, he's very special needs. So I had him in a special needs school there. She was trying to... So what happened was, my husband, who we were married for 15 years and had raised all these five kids together, switched his life insurance policy to her, right?
To
his sister,
okay.
Who got $1 million when he died, and we got nothing for me to raise JJ, and all the kids got nothing, and everybody got nothing. She got $1 million. So I knew she was going to try to sue me for him or...
For JJ?
Yeah, because she now has this $1 million, so she can hire people to help him, and I have nothing.
But you have legal custody.
He's my son. I adopted him.
Right.
He was 2 years... We had him from the time he was 8 months old until 2 years old. So she does nothing who wants to cause me trouble. So I don't tell people the truth about where we are and what we're doing because of those reasons. So I look like a suspect, but I am not a good person. I've raised all of my kids. I've done everything that I'm supposed to do in life. But everyone is causing me trouble right now. So...
We don't want to cause a lot of trouble. How long have you been here?
We only been here since September.
Okay.
We moved up here in September. My daughter to go to BYUI.
Your daughter goes to BYUI?
Yeah.
Does she live here?
Mm-hmm. So we just, it's been a nightmare. But I'm going to go back to Arizona so I can put him back in the special needs school. He couldn't do the school here. It was too hard for him. He would scream and cry, take him to school. The principal would have to come out, try to drag him out of the car. Like, it's just, it's too hard. But I just don't tell people where I am. I don't tell her where I am, ever.
Okay.
And she doesn't have any legal rights to anything. Like, she's been horrible to me since my husband died.
My understanding, she never called to try to get the child, you know, hey, I'm interested in the child back, you know, but that...
I know, but she sends me these emails with, like, the date and, like she's putting up court stuff, you know, like... just documenting. I haven't heard from him in all this time, and so I've told her that he's fine. But
see, and we hadn't heard any of that as far as...
I'm just saying she's doing this as part of that,
yeah.
Is my understanding.
And our only concern in this whole thing
is
the child.
I got it.
And so that's where we're at on the... And then
so
we were just a little weirded out when... You know, and I understand now that we've heard your side of the story.
It's awful. I feel like I'm being tracked all the time. I'm like, why are police coming to my door? What's an idea?
They said they were out visiting with two guys, and I'm assuming one's your brother.
Who was visiting? Yeah.
Who was the other one? The other guy they were visiting with. There were two.
Visiting?
Well, we had two detectives over here trying to...
Looking for you a little while ago.
Oh, because I was at the store.
And they ran into... Probably one of your brothers.
My brother and his friend, probably.
Who's that?
He's been moving. Chad.
Chad from around here?
Mm-hmm.
What's his last name? Bill. Okay. All right.
It's just a mess. It's just constantly causing me trouble.
Chad the D-A-Y-B-E-L-L?
Mm-hmm. He's an author.
Doesn't he live, like, out in the... Isn't that the Chanty Bell that... did his wife pass away recently? Is that him?
I don't know.
I bet it is. Chanty. D-A-Y-B-E-L-L.
But it sounds familiar as an author.
I think I know one of his. Has he got a couple of daughters?
He has lots of kids.
Okay. I'll bet it's safe. All right. Well, you need anything else? Sorry to bother you.
Thank you.
We don't mean to be a problem.
I'm sorry that people are constantly knocking at my door, looking for me, and I just don't want to be found, so.
Have you had problems? Because I think we only had
Well, the reason I'm moving is because the brother that was going to kill me, that we found emails and texts with my husband at the time, came showing up here, so he found out where I was, and he was knocking on my door.
Now, this was your brother?
One of my brothers.
He showed up here and was knocking on your door.
He lives in Kansas.
And you said something about you were getting threatening emails?
Well, no. Just after my husband passed, I found emails and texts between them that they were planning all this stuff to get rid of me.
Do we need to worry about him coming over?
Well, that's why I'm moving back. I'm moving, and I'm not going to be in a place. I'm going to live with my friend, Melanie. Don't tell anybody her name, Gib, because I don't want anything in my name. I put the apartment in my name, but I've been staying over here with my brother because he protects me.
Okay.
He's very protective of me, so.
If he shows back up, you know, you can call. Take care of it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I just was like, it's just a nightmare. I mean, I canceled the insurance policy since my husband passed, so there's no money if they kill me. And what are they going to do with JJ and Teddy? Like, what do people think?
Okay. So. Well, if you have a problem, show us back out, feel free to call us. We'll come and run them off or something. Okay?
Yeah, all right. I appreciate it.
Okay, we'll get out of here. Safe walking.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See ya.
Not.
Detective Stubbs, did you return to that same apartment that day?
Yes. When Detective Hermosillo and Detective Hope could not contact Melanie Gibb a few minutes later from this encounter, we went back to her door to inquire about how we could get a hold of Melanie Gibb.
And is that what is on the second film file here?
That is correct.
File?
Want us to ask Lori if she would
Melanie is the friend.
Wasn't Melanie the one living up here? Supposed to be her daughter, Lori's daughter?
No, this was the friend that she's going back down to live with, she said.
Right. She's got a daughter named Melanie, I thought.
Let's just see if she will call and have Melanie get a hold of Hope and just do a verification. Because apparently she's not answering the phone down there.
They were going to Frozen 2 today, so they may be at the movies.
Could you get a hold of her at some point and say, can you please call back the officer that's been trying to call you?
Okay, sure. Because I think they are at the movies right now.
Okay, he's been trying to call her, or other officer. She's not answering.
Okay.
But if they're at the movie, that's...
probably at Frozen 2 right now.
Yeah.
Because that's the one thing he wanted to do.
I'm Frozen 2.
Yeah. It's so cold here. So. I don't know if I can handle a whole winter here. That's probably why.
Yeah. So if she'll just return his call, that'd be great.
Okay.
Thanks. Yes, sir.
Detective Stubbs, I asked you earlier about your
Do you have any certifications regarding computer and cell phone forensics? Have you been involved in any analysis of cell phone records related to this case?
I have.
Okay. Are you familiar with location records which can be found on electronic devices?
I am.
Can you tell the court generally about location records that can be found on electronic devices?
So it all will depend on the device itself, who the provider is that is tracking location, web searches, a number of different apps will track your what you're doing.
Okay. And do you know how those records are generated?
Well, it just depends on the provider, what kind of stuff that they are searching for, what their target, if you will, their target market is. It can be, what you searched for, so they can better plan for that stuff, or GPS data, latitude, longitude, dates and times that you do things.
Okay. Have you used location information from a cellular device successfully in any other cases?
I have.
Okay. Have you analyzed any location records of electronic devices as part of your investigation in this case?
Yes, I have.
Detective, are you familiar with Alex Cox?
I am familiar with him in this case, yes.
Okay. And do you know who he is?
I've never met him, but I know he is the brother to Lori Ballow Daybell and the brother-in-law to the defendant, Chad Daybell.
Okay. Do you know where Mr. Cox is now?
I have been told that Mr. Cox died in December 2019.
Mr. Pryor?
Your side.
Mr. Wood, there's been an objection as to hearsay.
I'll rephrase the question.
Okay.
Through your investigation, do you know of the death of Mr. Cox?
Yes.
Okay. Pursuant to your investigation, why were you interested in Alex Cox's Google data?
The reason we were interested was we knew Alex lived in an apartment very close to Lori. We also knew because of the relationship between Lori and Chad, being brother-in-law and sister, that Alex may have some information onto where the location of the children may be.
Okay. And were you able to obtain Alex Cox's Google location data?
Yes, we were.
How did you do that?
We issued a search warrant. We had information of many known phone numbers, email addresses for the individuals in this case. We obtained a search warrant that we issued to Google and received a return from them with results.
Okay. And you may have already answered this. Did the warrant ask for just Alex Cox's data or multiple users?
No, we were requesting multiple users from the information we had obtained.
Okay. When you received a return on that warrant, was that return accompanied by a certificate of authenticity?
Yes, it was.
Your Honor, the state would ask for what's been marked as State's Exhibit 15 to be shown to the defense and then handed to the witness.
Exhibit 15 will be shown to Mr. Pryor. Exhibit 15 is now being shown to the witness.
Detective, do you recognize that document?
I do.
What is it?
It's a certificate of authenticity that was accompanied the results of the search warrant from Google.
And have you reviewed that document before?
I have reviewed this document, yes.
And are you familiar with its contents?
I am.
Detective, is that document signed under penalty of perjury?
Yes, it was.
By whom?
The Andrew Jordan.
Okay. Does that certificate of authenticity state that the record was made from information transmitted by someone with personal knowledge?
Yes, in paragraph one, it states that.
Does that certificate of authenticity state that the record was kept in the course of regular conducted activity of Google?
In paragraph five, it states that as well.
And does the certificate of authenticity state that the record was a regular, that making the record was a regular practice of Google?
Also in paragraph five, it states that, yes.
Okay. Your Honor, I would ask that that certificate State's Exhibit 15 be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Exhibit 15 will be admitted.
Your Honor, I'd ask that what's been marked at State's Exhibit 16 be shown to the defense and then handed to the witness.
Exhibit 16 is being handed to the witness.
Detective, do you recognize that document?
I do.
Have you seen it before?
I have.
And have you reviewed it?
I have reviewed this document, yes.
And are you familiar with its contents?
I'm sorry?
Are you familiar with its contents?
I am.
Detective, when you sent your search warrant for the accounts from Google that you talked about, did the accounts provided by Google include Google's subscriber information?
Yes, that is what this document is in reference to.
Okay. And is this document a true and accurate representation of the subscriber information you received for one of those Google documents?
Yes, this is one that Google sent us for one of those accounts, yes.
Your Honor, the state would ask that State's Exhibit 16 be entered into evidence.
No objection, Judge.
Exhibit 16 will be admitted.
Detective, can you look at the top of the first page of Exhibit 16?
Okay.
And do you see where it says Google subscriber information?
I do.
Is there a name identified with that subscriber information?
The name of Alex Cox.
Is there an email associated with that subscriber information?
There is. The email is homerjmaximus@gmail.com.
Is there any other data on that subscriber information page?
There is a subscriber phone number, which we had previously identified as belonging to Alex Cox.
Okay.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
Be sure to answer.
Detective, when you received the return on that search warrant, what was the size of that document in terms of pages if it were to be printed out?
Oh, the size of this entire document was thousands of pages.
Okay.
We've discussed Alex Cox's Google location data. If that were to be printed out, do you know approximately how many pages it would be?
So just the location data for this particular account, if you were to print it out, would have been over 28,000 pages.
Okay. And if you were to open that data up on a computer, what format does it come in?
If you opened it up, you would see it in what would be like an Excel spreadsheet.
Okay. And what kind of information is located on that spreadsheet in general for Google location data?
So for Google, it would be the date timestamps. It would be the latitude and longitude of the said, if you will, pings or pins that were placed. It would have a radius of error that Google has interpreted. It would have what they know as the device being used to access the Google system. And then there's another number that is really associated with Google and whatever inner workings they have that would have to be Google that explains it.
Okay. Due to the large size of the data, I think you said it was over 28,000 pages of user location data, correct?
Correct.
Have you prepared any summaries of data you found in that document?
I have prepared some documents.
Can you tell us about those documents?
So what I did was I took an aerial photograph and that I took specific dates and times of interest and just pinpointed on the map using GPS latitude, longitude, time, date stamps to place pins on a map to show location.
Okay. And how many summaries have you prepared?
I've prepared two at this time.
Okay. And were those summaries prepared with data you verified from Alex Cox's Homer J. Maximus account?
Yes.
And that is the same data that you received included with that certificate of authenticity?
That is correct.
You introduced earlier. Okay. Your Honor, the state would ask for state's exhibit, what's been marked as state's exhibit 17, to be shown to the defense and then handed to the witness.
Do you want to hand it to the witness or put it on the easel, Mr. Wood?
We can put it on the easel.
We'll just put it over the top of the previous exhibit.
Oh.
Would you like that handed directly to the witness?
Your Honor, I actually would like to have the... before I enter that into evidence... Well, yeah, before I ask for that... I'd ask for the State's Exhibit 17 to be entered into evidence.
Okay. Mr. Pryor, any objection to that?
I think a little more foundation would be necessary.
That's fine.
Hold up here, Madam Bailiff. Sounds like Mr. Wood is going to lay some more foundation. Would you like that exhibit handed to the witness?
Your Honor, yes, I'd be fine.
Okay.
Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 17?
I do. I prepared this.
Okay. What data did you use to prepare that with?
The location data that I had obtained from the Google account, Homer J. Maximus.
Okay. And Was that data verified with the Homer J. Maximus account?
As far as verified, that I have checked and double-checked my locations from the map overview to the GPS or latitude-longitude given by Google.
Okay. And how did you prepare that?
Well, there's a number of ways you can prepare it. This particular aerial photograph, we just you can do this using Google Earth, Google Maps, Ping Maps, or Bing Maps, Microsoft, anyone. If you enter a location with the GPS coordinates, doesn't matter. From my experience, anyone that I've used will always come up with the same waypoints.
Okay. Your Honor, this time I'd ask the state's exhibit 17 be entered into evidence. And I'd add that that's pursuant to rule out of a rule of evidence 1006, which allows for summaries to be prepared of voluminous data.
Mr. Pryor?
Judge, I don't have a problem with how he's applying 501. The difficulty is he has a demonstrative exhibit that he's trying to mark without any foundation of what's on that in terms of the picture and what it represents. So there's still a foundation problem here.
The state's more than happy to lay that foundation, Your Honor.
I'd like that laid out so that there's a clear record of exactly what that picture that is in Officer Stubbs' hands represents. So I need some more foundation in that regard, Judge.
All right.
Detective
Mr. Woods, please do so.
The base layer of that summary document you have, what does it purport to be?
This overhead view is of the property of 202 East, 1900 North, the Chad Daybell property.
Okay. And have you been at that property?
I have been at this property, yes.
And are you familiar with the layout of the property and landmarks on that property?
I am.
Okay. And is that base layer, that image, is that a true and accurate representation, to your knowledge, of what that property looks like?
It is.
Okay. And then what layers have you added to that summary?
So besides the photograph itself, I have added type of table of contents at the bottom where I can explain the other things that I put on here, which would be red triangles that are specified by a number next to them that correlate with the latitude and longitude that I have placed on this map. Other than those things, that is the only thing I've added to this photograph.
Okay. Your Honor, at this time, the state would move for...
There won't be an objection this time.
Exhibit 17 will be admitted.
Your Honor, before 17 is published, the state would ask that what's been marked as state's exhibit 18 would be shown to the defense and then hand it to the witness.
Exhibit 18 will be handed to the witness.
Thank you. Detective, do you recognize State's Exhibit 18?
I do.
Is it one of the summaries that you were you testified to earlier?
Yes, this is a second summary.
Did you prepare that summary with data you verified came from Alex Cox's Homer J. Maximus Google account?
Yes, I did.
Okay. What is the base layer of that image purport to be?
The base layer of this is the apartment complex at 565 Pioneer Road, where both Lori Vallow, Daybell, and Alex Cox resided.
Judge, and I want to be clear that he's referring to Lori Vallow and Alex Cox, and he did use the Daybell last name, but I want to make it clear that he's in no way implying that Chad Daybell was part of that. Is that correct? Living in that residence?
As living here?
As living in that residence that's in your hand right now.
That's correct.
Just so we have a clear record, Judge, because the Daybell name was used.
The record will so reflect.
How did you prepare that summary?
Again, this was an aerial photograph taken. There's been a couple layers added to this. This image I received from our GIS department, which is the department of the city who maps, if you will, all of the city. Also, their, if you will, the boundaries of residents and so forth and so on with addresses and so forth. So the second layer shows these apartments and the apartment numbers associated with the individual apartments. Again, my table of contents at the bottom right, that I received that data off of the Google location services I had received from Google with the Homer J. Maximus account.
Okay. Your Honor, the state would ask that State's Exhibit 18 be entered into evidence.
Judge, I would ask that there's an identifying factor telling me the date of that summary, because there's been no representation of the exact date that that summary represents, so I would like that from the witness.
There's been an objection as to foundation with the summary. Mr. Wood, do you wish to lay that objection?
Detective, what are the dates associated with the data you entered onto that that image?
The reference numbers, is that what we're referring to? The GPS coordinates I placed on here?
Yes.
They are September 9th, three of those on September 9th. Also, September 14th and September 6th are all dates that I've associated on this map.
Okay. Your Honor, this time we'd ask that State's Exhibit 18 be entered into evidence.
Judge, just clarification in lieu of objection, if I may.
Mr. Breyer, if you'll speak up just a little bit, I'm having difficulty.
Just clarification, and if I can inquire in aid of objection, Judge, just very briefly.
You may.
Thank you, Your Honor. Officer, September 9th, you said there are three readings at that particular point. Is that correct?
I have mapped three different,
right.
Yes.
And those represent just Alex Cox, is that correct?
Not Alex Cox, but the device belonging to Alex Cox.
Okay, and then on the 14th of September, it's the device belonging to Alex Cox as well. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And then on the 6th of September, it's the device belonging to Alex Cox. Is that correct?
That is correct.
And you already anticipated my question. Is that's merely just a device that in no way can establish whether or not the person is present at the time of those locations. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. Nothing else, Judge. Thank you.
Mr. Pryor, I feel like your questions were cross-examination questions. Any objection to the admission of Exhibit 18?
No, Judge.
Exhibit 18 will be admitted.
Thank you. Your Honor, I'd ask that Exhibit 18 be published and be placed on the easel.
Would you like that placed over the previous exhibit that's on the easel, Mr. Wood?
Yes, please. Court,
do you
whatever's
want,
easiest for court personnel.
Do you want both of those summaries to be visible as you're questioning the witness?
One at a time, Your Honor. We'll start with 18 and then go back to 17.
Okay, why don't we take a brief recess right now? We're going to crank the air conditioner in this courtroom for just a moment, see if we can cool it down by 10 or 50 degrees. And we'll go back on the record here in 15 minutes. It's 2:30, so why don't we plan on going back on the record at about 10 minutes to 3 o'clock.
Thank you, Judge.
You've been listening to the preliminary hearing of Chad Daybell, parts 1 through 13. Be sure to press subscribe wherever you download podcasts so you don't miss any piece of this compelling court testimony as we prepare for the trial of Lori Daybell in the coming weeks. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.